This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition, of Newsmakers at Noon. We are live today from the Polk County Fair. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted. I feel like a little kid. We're surrounded by food courts, and the smells are just driving me insane. They smell so good.
We've got our special two-hour show today, so we are going to be hungry for the next 2 hours. Please excuse the grumbling.
Kind of torture. We got a corn dog company over here. There's, like, wraps over there. There's coffee. There's ice cream. There's barbecue. There's wings and nachos. Yeah, torture.
Yeah,
who picked this spot?
I don't know. I think it's a great spot. We're under a tree like we are in all the fairs, which is always fun. Right here in the Home Comfort KYKN tent. And, I'm impressed with the turnout thus far. Yep. I was actually out here yesterday afternoon. It was a little slow starting with the smoke in the air.
Yeah.
But it is definitely starting to clear a little bit. I'm seeing a little more blue skies. And there was a quality turnout for kind of dinner time last night and on into the evening. And, of course, now today we're starting with lunchtime.
Yeah, exactly. And it is better. I left the house today on my way over here. I think yesterday I checked my little air quality meter and it was like 230, closing in on 300. It's down about 100 points. So it is definitely better. My eyes feel a little bit better. And so I'm hoping that a lot of people come out. We're right over here by where the animal exhibition part is too as well. You can't miss us here. And so we've got great. In a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to HD23 rep. Anna Scharf is going to join us. We love Anna. We'll probably keep her for the whole show. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Well, she can definitely engage in some quality conversation and let us know what's really going on around here at the Polk County Fair. In years past, we've always kind of been in the same general location, but we had our backs to the food court.
Right.
This year, they flipped us around. We're now facing the food court. So everyone out there enjoying their lunch is getting to listen to us.
I know, whether they want it or not. I don't know whether that is like, is this a punishment or is this a reward? It's hard to tell because, again, the aromas are wonderful. And so I'm seeing a lot of families out here, which is really great. A lot of great booths. I was kind of wandering in as you were setting things up. I think a little later in the show as well, the Polk County Republicans are here. We're going to talk to their chair, Suzanne. They've got some city council races coming up, and there's all kinds of stuff going on over in Polk County. We always talk about Marion. We need to give Polk a little love.
Well, we love Polk County. It's a full different atmosphere than the Marion County Fair is. They don't have the big carnival rides out here, but just from where I'm sitting, I can see the head of a giant chicken.
I swear that's that crazy chicken from the movie Moana.
It very well could be. It's a giant bouncy house. I'm seeing it over the top of food trucks. And also that it looks like there is a giant water slide, bouncy house over there. There's a swing set. There is plenty for kids to do around here. And it just looks like a blast. Like I said, yesterday evening, they had some music start playing right over here on the other side of the food courts. We got to enjoy the music. And there's just so much to do out here in Polk County. So never forget, it's right across the bridge.
Yep. And it was a nice, easy trip. Lovely drive over. Still a little hazy, but not anywhere near as bad. And so we're excited to be here. Again, programming note, you're hearing us an hour earlier than normal. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be broadcasting till 1 o'clock today. So we've got 2 hours out here. So meanwhile, if you are not coming out here, if you're hanging out over in Salem, there's big doings over in Salem. Salem is kind of a coffee town.
Ah.
It is a coffee town.
I've got actually... the coffee that I finished earlier this morning and the coffee that I brought out to keep me moving for the next 2 hours.
Okay, well, did you know that it is Salem Coffee Week?
It is.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, if you go out to whatshappeningsalem.com, you can find out all about it. I think almost all the coffee shops in town are participating. And it is, they pour a signature drink, and it's built around the Pacific Northwest, a Salem summer theme. So there's no voting. It's not a competition. It's just great coffee and a reason to explore. So you grab a passport, then you can go to all your, I'm kind of partial to the Broadway Coffee House for good reasons. They've got a horchata, I believe. And I think you've got like Storm Coffee Cafe, of course, Offbeat, Isaac's Place, Ike Box. Oh, gosh, what else? Oh, of course, Archive. I mean, all of them are participating. So I'm looking. Broadway's got a horchata, Oregon style, house-made cold brew, hemp milk, vanilla, and a generous bit hit of cinnamon. Yes, please.
Oh, well, that sounds really good. Bowtie Coffee. I saw that one on the list. That's a little one right up there by Chuck E. Cheese. That's where I've actually been.
Is that yours?
I've been frequenting that place for about a dozen years now.
Well, now, you know, their drink is a Marionberry Coconilla and the Sailor. It's two drinks, a Marionberry twist on their most popular order, and then an ode to Oregon's beaches. I think that you should get that tomorrow.
I might have to try that tomorrow. Yeah, I just got my regular mochas.
I'm boring. I just drink like a latte. Again, Isaac and Ike Box, who we love them. They're downtown. They have a Marionberry Sage Shaken Cappuccino. So again, I did not realize how many coffee shops there are in Salem. There's a ton.
It is interesting to go around and just kind of experience all of these coffee shops because they all bring their own special flair. And that's kind of one of those things I love about Oregon coffee in particular. It's not all just the, you know, Starbucks mentality. It is. We are in the Northwest. Yeah. Coffee is art.
It is. And I guess also if you visit four locations before August 7th, you will get free admission because there's a latte art party. And I know at Broadway, they're doing a latte art competition. And I think basically Ben is the manager out there and was talking about if you did latte art 10 years ago, come on. If you've never done it, but you've kind of done it in your head, come on.
That's right.
Well, if you've always dreamed of being a latte artist, come on.
At some point today, I'm probably going to try out this coffee Cabana, yeah, right across the way from us, just because I love my coffees and I'm going to enjoy them as much as I can throughout the day. And I don't, unfortunately, get the chance to get back over to Salem to go try out the different places there.
And just for everybody listening, Hunter's going to be here all day. Mm-hmm. And we would love you to come out and pop by and say hi. Obviously, when we've got the headsets on, we're talking heads and we can't chat. But we've got a lot of really cool swag out here. A lot of our sponsors, again, our sponsors for this, Hunter mentioned, it's Home Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning. Also, Copycats, Auto Team Service Center, English Realty, DC Electric Incorporated, Elite Buyers Northwest, Rick Real Farm Supply, and of course, Half Price Oregon.
Well, Half Price Oregon sponsors everything we do.
They sponsor everything. Well, we have got pens. We have got a giveaway.
Yeah, we do have a $50 gift card from Elite Buyers Northwest. We've got some entry tags out here. We will pick a winner for that one at the end of the... So probably next Monday.
Yeah.
Since this thing goes through Saturday at about 10 o'clock, I think Saturday night is when the fair ends. But we do have some swag from just about everybody else sitting out here, as well as a few little bubble tubes for the kids and some noisemakers.
Oh, those are for the kids?
Well, you can have one.
Sorry.
You can try one out.
I'm digging these Green Acres pencils. I
think those are
super
cool.
I'm a pencil nerd. And this is a really nice pencil. I love writing. I always love number two pencils.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old Ticonderogas?
Mm-hmm.
Number two pencils. You can come out and get a pencil.
If you went to elementary school in the 90s or before, Dixon Ticonderoga number two pencils are like engraved in your soul.
They're right, the best. And in your teeth, because I would chew on them.
Or right next to the TI, whatever number was the current one
for the calculators. were you one who would take, if you had one of those pink erasers, that you'd poke holes in your eraser?
Maybe when I was little. By the time I hit middle school, I stopped doing that kind of stuff. Or, you know, taking your Elmer's glue and glue hand. I was actually doing some cleaning out of my garage, you know, summer, spring cleaning, whatever you want to call it. And I came across, I think it was a TI-81 calculator.
With the teeny little red, kind of the analog letter numbers.
And I'm going, I don't even know if this thing's work. If there were still batteries in it, which I didn't even check, I'm sure they had deteriorated to the point where they had scorched every internal, you know, electrode within the thing.
Well, see, the fair is making us reminiscent of being kids again.
That's what fairs are for.
That's what they're for. And I'm seeing a lot of kids. And so that's very cool. So, okay, let's go ahead and take our first break. You are listening to Newsmakers at Noon live at the Polk County Fair on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon, live from the Home Comfort Tent at the Polk County Fair, is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, so we are in the thick of campaign season. In fact, we're waiting on Rep. Sharp because she's got she's got a campaign event going on this morning. And so we're kind of, you know, she's just got to do what she's got to do. I always talk about, I'm an Orstar geek. Orstar tells the tale because it tells you who and how much people are donating to campaigns. And as of at least a day or two ago, because it takes a couple days to update, what do you think the cash on hand for the Republican and the Democratic gubernatorial candidates are? Take a guess.
Judging by what I am seeing so far out there on the campaign trail, I'm starting to see Tina Kotek come out with some ads. I'm not seeing a whole lot out of the Drazen camp. So I'm guessing Tina probably has a substantial amount more money than Christine Drazen does.
Very wise. Very astute. Basically, Kotek's got a war chest of $8.1 million. And Drazen is coming in at 2.3. So that is a big, wide discrepancy. And there's always been the talk of, you know, money and name recognition wins the campaign. I know a lot of people are praying and hoping and saying their prayers and making wishes on anything they can wish on that Oregon changes things up and elects a Republican for the first time in 40 years. Because things kind of suck. They kind of suck.
Well, I'm going to look at it from the perspective of, at this point, I will think that the majority of Tina's money is coming from out-of-state donors and union representation.
I would say you're probably right. I don't have the screen up. I can bring it up, though, and I can tell you, because if a quick note on Orstar, if the line item is in red, that's out-of-state.
And I would suspect that Drazen's is probably a lot more local, a lot less large donations from organized groups. But in the name recognition mentality, I think there's ways to make sure she stays out there. With the benefit of running 4 years ago, yep, she already has some pre-existing recognition.
I actually saw a group, Democrats for Drazen. Hmm? I did see that. I can't remember where it was. It might have been a Facebook group. It's an online social media group.
It's an underground. It's on the dark web.
Actually, it wasn't. It was right there. It came up in my feed. What? Apparently, the algorithm thought I wanted to see it, which I did. And so that's interesting because I think there are a lot of disaffected Democrats and certainly a lot of independents and NAVs that are just kind of tired. Tina Kotek has a long record to run on, which she's not running on. She's running on Trump.
Yeah. And that's what I've seen so far. Her initial campaigns have been about she won't even mention Christine Drazen's name. She just says, I'm here to protect Oregonians from Trump because he's bad. My opponent is one of his henchmen, which I don't think is anywhere near truthful. I use that word, you know, that wasn't in the campaign itself. But I think that she's very much focused on the national level in what she's running because that's what she has. She has no real record of positivity in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, of good things.
And, you know, she's throwing out the little things like, we're going to not sell 72 acres for a data center.
Yeah, wading into Salem to local issues.
Yeah, and in that kind of mentality. So when it comes to her truly helping Oregonians, I think there's a limitation to it. So she's focusing on the fight against the national level.
Well, one of the other things, of course, I've got a headline here. She refuses to allow almost 600,000 Oregon students access to new free money from the taxpayer donor funded National School Choice Program. Why? Trump. She doesn't like him. That makes it clear. I mean, I think in her voters pamphlet statement, didn't somebody count like six mentions of the president?
Yep.
And, you know, he's just not that into you, hon. So he doesn't lose any sleep over you.
See, that's where I always come down. I sit here and I look at Tina's campaign. I look at some of these leftist people that are on social media, on X and things like that. And I sit there and go, why do you have such a hard time not mentioning Donald Trump's name? And do you have a secret crush and a love affair? I mean, are you like
Maxine?
Are you like Maxine and you just want to, you know, explicit with the Trump? I'm just kind of going, the obsession there, even when they're campaigning or not campaigning or mentioning things, I'm going, you know, let's look at something from the other side. Show me a positive that's coming out of New York City or Portland or Seattle.
I think Portland needs $30 million state-run grocery stores. But the bottom line is with Kotek, she's keeping, you know, 600,000 students from accessing money that would improve their education. Remember, she's all about education, right? This childless woman who has been governor and has been in Oregon politics forever. She's not, you know, a lot of people, she's a carpetbagger. Mm-hmm. In many respects, although she's been here for a long time, but she's not allowing that. The other thing that I find is interesting because there are these Trump accounts for babies that were born.
Yes.
And I'm finding a lot of people are having the same thing. Well, I don't want it because it has Trump's name on it. I'm like, you're not hurting Trump. You're actually hurting your child. Set the thing up. They'll match $1,000 and it's a really good deal. So it's the same mentality with this woman, with Kotek, mm-hmm. that they want to cut off their nose to spite their face because, oh Lord, Trump's name is on it.
Well, when I'm sitting here saying that you've shut out Oregonians from all of this federal money to improve education, and you've extended the COVID era, no standards for graduation, I'm sitting here going, what are you really doing for Oregonians? You're literally giving them a piece of paper that says, you did the bare minimum. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's that going to be worth out there in the broader market? So it's going to be interesting to see how these campaigns, because like you said, she doesn't have a real positive record in Oregon. She has a record, though. And so it's really going to be up to the Drazen campaign and surrogates to keep hammering that home. And there are so many issues that are being presented on a silver platter to the campaign. Again, I want to see more aggression. Right. I mean, obviously, it's August 6th, kind of after Labor Day, things tend to really kick into high gear.
Oh, yeah. Labor Day is going to be the real, real kickoff, simply because now you're getting into that window. You have a month or 2 months until Election Day, whereas now a lot of people are doing fun stuff like attending the Polk County Fair.
I'm not thinking about politics.
Isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. It's like you can get by with not focusing on what's going on, which can drag you down so much when you're talking the political side of things.
And we have to be mired in it a lot. I have another story that's really great because, of course, we've been following the horror that's happening in Spokane, which now allegedly is an arson caused fire, much to Jay Inslee's chagrin, who was out there all over X trying to claim that it was climate. I'm like, sit down.
No, I think the arsonist's name is climate change.
That's the face of climate change right there. This is cool, though. I did not know this. Sydney Sweeney is a native of Spokane.
Hmm.
The lovely Sydney Sweeney, for all the reasons that men love her, which we don't need to talk about. She's gorgeous. She was spotted in her hometown of Spokane handing out free meals to fire victims at a local women and children's community center. And I'm looking at the video of it. If you didn't know who she was, you wouldn't know she's Sydney Sweeney. I mean, she's in baggy overalls and unkempt hair, and she's just out there helping out. And I think that is very cool. And there's no publicity. She was spotted. She didn't have a PR team, let everybody know, make sure that the PAPs were out there so they could take pictures of her, like, you know, the Harkles.
Well, I just,
who would be having being caught by the paparazzi.
Well, I just sit here and go, you know, the next step is going to be, you know, the story is going to be, you know, MAGA woman city. And I just going, because I'm hearing a whole lot of that. And we've been talking a lot about what's going on with Sophie Cunningham and the WNBA.
Right, right.
And now the new narrative they're trying to put out is Sophie Cunningham is a MAGA darling that Caitlin Clark was supposed to be. So they're trying to sow this big rift within it because Caitlin Clark's not vocal about it, which, like I said yesterday, I can understand that mentality. But at the same time, you wish she would be a little more unwilling to cow down to the pressure.
I think I heard Clay Travis was on Glenn this morning talking about that for the same. Glenn had the same concerns because it's like we wanted to be more vocal. And Clay brought it back to kind of Michael Jordan in the 90s, 80s and 90s, late 80s. Republicans buy sneakers, too, and wonders if she's not trying to maybe plant a flag there and stay apolitical, which is commendable if she is, because it's really everybody expects, you know, what are your politics? Wear it on your sleeve.
Yeah.
And maybe that's sort of the groove that she wants to stay in is, I'm not going to talk about that. I don't know. I was kind of like, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I just sit here and go, the problem I have with the NBA and the WNBA is that everything is about wokeism, is about the mentality. I'm sitting here and go, these are leagues that there is no DEI. You're not making sure that every race is represented in the NBA. You're not making sure that every race is represented in the WNBA when you actually get down to the way they put these teams together. But yet they're going to sit around and preach to us that we all need to be this way.
Yeah.
And to me, that's talking out of both sides of the mouth to a certain extent. We've talked a lot about that. But the belief that a player, we say it about LeBron James all the time, shut up and play basketball.
Yeah.
And Caitlin Clark is doing that, even though the media is trying to present her and get a gotcha moment out of it.
Well, what was it, like the Guardian or some UK paper was trying to say, you know, Sophie Cunningham's take the role that was supposed to be Caitlin's. Sport was kind of the last bastion of where woke hadn't gone and DEI hadn't gone, where it's like, it's sort of a zero-sum game. You either make the team or you don't. You're either good or you're not. there's not a lot to it, but now you've got all this men pretending to be women to be in women's sports and the ridiculous comments. What was it? The Portland coach? Mm-hmm. I don't have enough. I'm not educated enough. Oh, like how, lady? Of course you are.
Well, there
you're
well,
a human being with two eyes.
And that's the mentality. It's they come up with these catchphrases, these PC catchphrases to avoid answering a question, an A or B question.
It's ridiculous.
It's a yes or no question. And rather than answer the yes or no question, they're going to come up with a pre-set phrase to try and take the pressure off.
And you hear it's the same thing. It's kind of like with data centers, frankly. That's like the memo went out. And if you're against it, here are your talking points. But anyway, kudos to Sophie. Apparently, she has a long history of supporting her hometown. And somebody's calling it Spokanistan or Spokompton. I drive through Spokane a lot, and yeah, no.
Well, I will say that when you grew up on the west side of the mountains of Washington State, You actually spoke Compton was something was talked about, but there were also other communities, you know, closer to home that kind of had the same mentality, and
some of the suburbs around Olympia could have. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I was there. It was over 25 years ago when I moved away from there, and that world has changed a whole lot, and unfortunately in such a negative way, and thanks to the leadership and the mentality. And like you said, Inslee, who ran Washington to the ground, then quickly moved to Idaho and is now telling us it's all about climate change instead of looking in the mirror and saying, maybe my policies didn't work the way I thought they would.
That will never happen. All right. We're up on the bottom of the hour. News break. We're live at the Polk County Fair. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon in the home comfort tent at the Polk County Fair is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering.
All right. Miller's Barbecue. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
I know. I'm torturing us now.
I know. The smells, and I'm getting new smells, and they kind of waft by, and it's like, remember the dog in those cartoons, like Looney Tunes or whatever? He just kind of floats on the scent. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do later. All right. We're going to jump right in. Joining us in the third folding chair here at the fair is HD23 rep Anna Sharp. How are you, my friend? It's so nice to see you.
It's always great to see you too, and so, to have you at the fair. Yeah, thanks for being here again.
Oh yeah, we love it. We love broadcasting here. And so excited. You were the first call I made, or first text I made, actually.
I know. It always means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah, we love having you. So we wanted to kind of dish where it's, you know, the legislature is not in session or anything like that.
Yeah.
We were talking
first
segment about the money in the Drazen Protect race made the comment too that money, it's not always about money. Money certainly helps.
Yeah.
Name recognition helps, and fed upness.
Oh,
is that a word? Can I coin that?
Yeah.
Fed upness.
Yeah.
That plays a role.
Yeah. Well, I've been telling folks all along, it's like, at what point are the frogs in the boiling pot of water done?
Yeah.
And I think Oregonians, the frogs in the boiling pot of water, are done. We've had 40 years of single party rule in the state.
Gosh.
Businesses are leaving. People are leaving. Our schools are a mess. Our businesses are a mess. Our state is a mess. Representative Mannix was just at a meeting that I ran down here from as soon as it ended. And Kevin said, Representative Mannix, he said that, you know, it's like we have a house that's run down and it needs remodeled. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really great analogy.
Yeah.
And we need a new builder and we need to remodel. And I think that Senator Drazen, former Representative Drazen, needs to now be Governor Drazen. And Governor Kotek has got some dark money coming in from somewhere and she's out fundraising. But you know, I don't think money's it. And I'm talking to a lot of folks across the state, and there's a lot of Democrats that are saying quietly in the closet, yeah, I'm not going to vote for Tina again. I can't take it. I can't take any more of this.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to see you in the quiet of your kitchen when you're in your jammies with your cup of coffee. What bubble you're filling in.
No. I mean, even if we had polling, even if we went to the polling places like we used to when I was a kid.
You still got privacy screen.
You still have
privacy.
This. Nobody knows who you vote for unless you want to tell them.
Right.
I mean, my husband doesn't all the time tell me who he votes for. So, the thing is, you've got to get out and vote. And the other thing I'm telling people is when Christine wins, just having a Republican governor doesn't solve our problems.
Right.
We have got to get the House out of the supermajority.
So let's dig a little deeper into that, because I see a lot of sentiment out there that, okay, if we just do this, and I know it's like that's great. That's a start.
That's a start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you have two chambers and the supermajority still and a Republican governor, you're going to have a lame duck governor for 4 years, because those two chambers will override, or at least for two, they will override everything that she does with a supermajority vote.
Yeah.
And the agencies will clamor to them like, save us. And because we are the third branch of government that controls the purse, we'll just take care of everything for them. We, meaning the supermajority.
Right.
So, you know, we've got, I have always been a pessimist, but I will tell you right now, I am more optimistic than I have ever been before. We've got recent polling that
shows. That says something.
It says a lot about me. Yeah. My husband would tell you it says a lot about me. We've got some recent polling that says we have the opportunity to get out of this and actually get in a position where we matter. We, the minority party, again, matter in this state, in the House, starting with our hold seat with Representative Mannix in House District 21. That's Salem Kaiser.
Yep.
Kevin should be able to hold that seat, which is great for us. Kevin has got his history.
In Salem? Oh, gosh.
He's an institution.
He's been around forever.
In himself. And he is a great legislator to work with. We have Scott Hege, who's running for Representative Helfrich's seat. Helfrich is running for the Senate.
Okay.
So that's up in Hood River area. We need to hold that seat. That's been held for quite a while. Representative Bonham had it before that.
Okay.
So we just need to hold that seat. The Democrat running for that seat is Senator Lisa Reynolds' son. So we'll just say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there. So let's just...
I thought that you know, take... didn't like the Nepo stuff.
Well, you know, it, nepotism only works for us, right?
Yeah.
And then we have the former Tracy Kramer seat that we lost to Representative Munoz, Miss DSA. And
I saw the official endorsement, DSA, the Democrat Socialist of America, in case you don't know.
Queen Democrat Socialist of America.
She's the favorite girl?
Yeah, yeah. She is one of their favorites. And so we have Noemi running in that seat.
She's great.
She is.
We have yet to talk to her. We're kind of lining up our... guests for going through. I'm impressed with her.
To get her on your show because she is a rock star, very, very well known in the community, on the school board. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple chances to talk to her. I'm very impressed. And so I'm hoping, I'm very hopeful in that seat. I think that we take that back and that they don't come somehow in 5 days after the election's over and find thousands of somehow magical Democrat ballots and mess with that.
They don't even try to hide it anymore.
They aren't even trying to hide it anymore. I'm going to skip the next one because I'm going to save the juicy stuff for last.
Okay.
So the next one would be Adam Wilson. So Representative Lively down in the Eugene area, retired Democrat, is retiring. So that leaves an open seat. And Adam Wilson down there, super, super nice gentleman, very well known in the area. He has very good polling numbers down there. So that would be a flip seat. So that gives us an up in that. So that's a take back seat. So 23, now we're going to 24. Adam Wilson takes us to 25. We're starting to become very relevant, right?
I like it.
Then we look at House District 26. Which is an appointed seat by Representative Reike Smith.
Okay.
So this is up in the Sherwood, Wilsonville area. And we have a gal by the name of Stephanie Karkin. And that woman is a rock star.
Oh, excellent. Love having rock stars on the show.
Oh, talk about woman-owned business. She has an HVAC company, and I wouldn't want to have my heat go out because, she's great.
She's a woman in the trades. That is very cool.
Woman in the trades and worked her way up in the trades.
Love it.
And so she is a fundraising machine. And I firmly believe that she's going to take Reike Smith out. So now we're at 26. Mm-hmm. So then we look at 27. 27 is House District 40. That's Adam Baker. House District 40 was held by my good friend, Representative Hartman. Representative Hartman is not coming back. Yes, I have a friend who's a Democrat, for all my Republicans out there that are now mad at me.
It's okay.
She was the chair of Human Services, but she was going to run for county commissioner. Then she was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, no.
And then she's not going to run for county commissioner. She's moving on to bigger and better things, but a very, very moderate Democrat. Yep. She voted no on the transportation package, people. So I can have friends that are
absolutely
Democrats that voted
there
with us on the transportation package.
Same.
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah. So Adam Baker's going to swoop in there. And so guess what? Now we're at 27, right? Okay. Here's where things get super, super spicy. And this is my happy place. We've got that guy that decided that he didn't want to be a Republican anymore.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
He took us from 24 to 23.
Yeah. What a guy.
I was Javity the Cavity over in House District 32 on the coast. I hope he's listening. We have a really wonderful candidate over there named Max Sherman. And Max is a former FFA advisor, high school ag teacher, just really super great guy, down to earth. And he is just taking numbers over there. He's fantastic. And so, we're just going to send Cyrus back to keep drilling on teeth and doing what he did and just get out of the legislature because he sold us down the river and you just don't do that.
No, that whole thing was just really gross, frankly, for lack of a better word, it was just gross.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I there's a lot in there to digest, but I really think that we go from 23 to at least 27, if not 28 would be amazing. It's been a long time since we were there.
Yeah.
But 27 even makes us really relevant.
Wasn't 2010 the last time it was tied up?
Yeah.
Which was like, that's fine. That's good.
Yeah. 2011.
So 2011,
2011
okay.
session was the last time we were 30-30 in the House, had co-speakers, co-gavels in each one of the committees. And you also have to remember that was the last time that we didn't have vote by mail as well.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. So there's been a lot of changes in Oregon since then, but I will get there. We also have to get there incrementally.
Yes.
So 26 is a pivot. 28 is going to be the next pivot. And we have to make that next pivot closer to parity because then we head into the next round of redistricting.
Yeah.
And if we don't fix the gerrymandered districts that we have in this state in 3031, when we're going to lose a congressional seat, because not only are we hemorrhaging businesses in this state, hemorrhaging students out of our public education system, hemorrhaging really good families who are leaving to move to Idaho and Ohio and North Carolina,
Tennessee and Florida,
we are also going to lose a congressional seat because we've lost too much population.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's important to reiterate that getting Drazen in there is fantastic. It's a start.
It's a start.
And to do that. So what's your take on, because a lot of the problem, there's a lot of apathy among Republicans in Oregon.
Yeah.
I see that a lot where it's like, it just doesn't seem to matter. And you get kind of beaten down, that sort of, battered Republican syndrome. I know it well.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, well, we're talking about Kotex not running against Trump, but somebody ought to tell her that. Good grief.
Can't figure it out.
But you've got to get the base motivated. So I don't know. I know it's only August 6th right now. Labor Day is when everything really kicks in.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were inspired by how some of the California races have been going, where they're kind of coming out punching.
Yeah.
And they're coming out with really amazing ads and amazing messaging. Are we going to see some of that in some of these races, do you think?
Well, if we get the funding, we will. I mean, I hate to say it, but all those people that I just listed out, listen, I have a $250,000 goal, money that I need to personally raise.
Yeah.
And my race is not heavily contested. Yeah. I never take my reelection for granted. Yeah. I have an opponent and I'm working hard, but I personally want to raise $250,000 so I can help those people that I just named in those other seats try and get reelected, because airtime costs money. I have an ad in the Polk County Fair Guide that I picked up on the way in here. Mm-hmm. That little half-page ad cost me $645. These things cost money. Yeah. Airtime costs money. Text costs money. It costs money to get these folks' names out there. So when you get that call, when you get that text, when you get that flyer, when you get asked to give $100, your tax write-off credit, when you get asked to go to fundraisers, I can't encourage Republicans, non-affiliateds, and independents that are out there, and even those moderate Democrats that say, I've had enough, Democrats, period, that say, I've had enough, come help us, support us. We need to take back this state to a point where there's really, truly balance and everybody has a voice, because right now, you're not getting heard.
Yeah. And it's got to be frustrating for you being on the inside when you're in. It's different if the Republicans are in the majority. There's a whole different set of problems that come with that.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole different dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
But for an Oregon, and even being part of the party, the whole party structure and everything.
Yeah.
When you're not in power, you everybody wants to get things done, but we really do have a chance to start, like you said, incrementally moving back to where at least there's some
super majorities, no matter which party's in charge, are not healthy.
They're not at all.
I attended CSGUS, which is the Council of Western Governments. Idaho is a super red state, super majority. They infight in the super Republican Party, right? Mm-hmm. They have their extremes. I'm not asking the voters of Oregon to give me a super majority Republican Party. I am absolutely not asking for that. I am asking for us to give us a 27, give us a 26, give us a 28, because there are moderate Democrats that I'm spending quality time with that are incumbents that are saying, we want to work with you, but we can't unless you have some power to have to give us cover, to give us protection to cross the aisle and have those honest conversations.
Think about that.
Right?
I mean, really, we got to shh. It's kind of like, you know, when we would say something and people would come up quite, well, we feel the same, but in a whisper. We got to stop whispering.
Yeah. And it's okay for Republicans to have conversations with Democrats. Yeah. I mean, when I said,
I agree 100%
with you. My friend, Representative Hartman, she was a Democrat. It's like, oh, I have to be careful about what I say. I shouldn't have to feel that way. This is not a purity test thing. Yes, there are certain fundamental Republican values, my Second Amendment stance, my anti-abortion stance. There are certain things that I will not compromise on. But those are 90-10 issues. And in the state of Oregon, those 10% things, we just they need to go over here on a parking lot over here, because it's the 90% things that are killing our state that are making us at the bottom performance where we need to be at the top, and at the top performance where we need to be at the bottom.
Yeah.
So give us the numbers, win some House seats for us, and let's figure out how to bring balance back to our state. It's the most important thing that we can do right now.
It is. We're running along on this segment. Can I keep you till the top of the hour? Because I know we'll talk about fair and all the kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the fair.
You love this fair. We're talking with Representative Anna Scharf. This is Newsmakers at Noon live at the Polk County Fair and the 1430 KYKN. Come on back.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
All right, welcome back. This segment of Newsmakers at Noon, and from the home comfort tent at the Polk County Fairgrounds, being brought to you by Elite Buyers Northwest, where we have a $50 gift card giveaway here at our booth. Come and fill out a little entry form and get prepared. It sounds like we got a little bit of mice in the machine.
Do we have mice again? We are out in the country, so it's the country mice are visiting us. Country mice better than city mice.
Wouldn't they come out to the Polk County?
It better be.
Come on, everybody's here.
Right?
And we are, again, we're talking with Representative Anna Scharf. So let's switch gears and talk about the fair, because we all love this fair. I love country, really country fairs. I mean, these are rural. It's great. It's my favorite thing.
I've said for years, I spent 10 years on the Polk County Fair Board.
Yeah.
Until I decided that it was time to pass the baton. And Tim Ray is still the Fair Board Chair after I passed the baton to him, and he's still doing a phenomenal job. It's like a family reunion. I come here just to see all my neighbors who I never get a chance to see. Because when you live in the country, your neighbors are 5 miles
away. Pretty far
away,
yeah.
But it is truly a family event where you can come here with your kids. You can bring your own picnic lunch. You can bring your wagon in with your own food. You can buy hot dogs.
Which is nice, because a lot of times you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't take your own water bottles into a lot of things. And or you can be tortured sitting here next to the corn dog.
See, she used the word tortured too, because it smells so good.
Who doesn't love a good corn dog in a fair?
Yum.
And you know, you can ride the train through here for free. So there's things to do. Once you get into the fair, there's so many things to see and to do that you aren't nickeled and dimed to death.
Yeah.
Like you are at a lot of other county fairs.
Yeah.
In addition to that, the Polk County Fair truly does showcase our community. It showcases the 4-H kids, the FFA kids, their animals, their projects throughout the year, whether it's their art projects, their animal projects, their food projects, and also our open class, our very, very talented community members from our farmers and bringing in their crops to show, their flower exhibits, their photography exhibits. it truly is a community.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah. You can definitely feel it. As we were coming back on after the break, I could hear a sheep bleating in my ear. And I'm like, I'm hoping that went out over the air because it is the cutest sound.
Yeah. I remember when I used to stay here in my trailer and it would be like, you know, 4 a.m. and I could hear the chickens and it was like, ah, man, time to get up.
They're laying. They're making breakfast for us.
Yep. The kids are awake. It's time for me to get out of the trailer and go walk through the barns and see what they're all doing. So, yeah. And there's always something to see. I mean, there's always an animal show going on. You know, I'm looking at the schedule thinking, gosh, there is something every single hour on the hour. And the fun thing to do is to actually walk through the barns because the kids are in there and they will teach you.
Yes.
They will teach you.
They love to do that.
They love to talk about their animals and teach you, you know, this is where this cut of meat comes from, or this is how I feed my animals. This is where I learned how to test my eggs. So that I wasn't throwing my eggs away when the date is like expired
from the supermarket, not your fresh
supermarket or even the fresh eggs.
They have a lot longer shelf life.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's like the float test, right?
Yeah. The float test. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
And I learned that at the fair. And it's so cool because it's less food waste.
Right.
It's truly amazing. So you can learn things from these kids at the fair. It's great.
Yeah, and they do love to talk about it, and they show them. We always love talking to the FFA kids. Hopefully, we'll be able to wrangle some up for the second hour, and I'm always so impressed with them because not only are they learning about the livestock and the animals that they care for, but they're learning a lot of tech. There's a lot of tech in farming now, and then a lot of public speaking, and they're always very well spoken, direct handshake, direct eye contact. They are they're eloquent. They can speak, you know, about what they want to do. You don't, you know, especially when you're on the radio, they don't answer with like one word answers. Yeah. If you're on the radio, you can kind of expound a little bit. Yeah. I've always been so impressed with every single one I've ever met.
These are the kids that you want to hire someday.
Yes, exactly. Well,
that's where I'm coming from. They are motivated kids. Most of these kids have, even as freshmen in high school, have an idea of the field of work that they want to go into long term.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they don't, they have the experience and they have the ability to have a communicate. They talk like they're adults already.
Exactly.
And it's like, you're 8.
They're
How are you having this conversation with me? You're 8 years old.
And you're right. It is sometimes 8 year olds and they're very poised.
Yeah.
And they're very passionate. And I always love because then at the end of all this, the animals are auctioned off.
On Saturday.
And there's big money raised. And so they you look at all the work that they put into that going through, and then there's the payday at the end. And I always ask them because people, you get the, aw, people, it's like they're not pets.
They're not
pets.
They're
very well treated, but they're not pets.
Yeah. No. And that's part of the learning process. Yeah. I mean, as fair board chair and school board chair one year, I bought the championship goat, and it was a learning experience for this young lady because she had to have the hard learning that you don't put your animal in the auction ring unless you expect it to die.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I could see the headlines the next day, you know, fair board chair, school board chair kills goat.
Oh no.
So we
depending on the newspaper.
We need a deal. I didn't kill the goat. but you know, this is where these kids raise a lot of their money for college and for things that they want to spend their money on. And so I do encourage everybody and they do the marketing to go out and get the buyers to come on Saturday. So come Saturday morning.
Add the marketing part in too.
Come Saturday morning and bid on these animals. And these kids are prepared to let you eat their animals.
Yes. Well, and we talk about too, I know we're running out of time here with you and Rep Sharp, why do I keep saying Sharp?
It's okay.
I don't know. I need to eat a corn dog.
Corn dogs.
Anyway, real quick, but everybody does talk about how, you know, really eating real food and trying to get back to knowing where your food comes from.
You'll know.
What a perfect opportunity to come down here and know exactly what has gone into, you know, your beef or your sheep or your goat.
Chickens.
I raise chickens, so I know. They're little goofy nutcakes, my hens. Mrs. Butters, especially. Mrs. Butters is something else. So, all right, real quick, before we run out of time, website for people to check out your work, anything you want to let people know where to go?
Campaign site is voteammasharf.com.
Okay. Well, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
And we're at the top of the hour now. We got one more hour to go.
Yeah, we got another hour, total hour.
That's more to talk about, so come on back after this.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.